Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
It is the Final Hooter on Radio General. Thank you very much. Welcome to the Final Hooter on lovrably.com. And thanks very much for Radio General for letting us use the studio for the forthcoming season. Parky, we're back.
I know.
We are back in the building. We're back in the world of Rugby League.
And we're not just putting one show out this week, we're putting two shows out.
Yeah, we've got that much to squeeze in, quite literally. We've got to do it twice. So rather than have it all in one go, we've decided to split it for the start of the brand new season of the Final Hooter podcast for lovrably.com. In this hour of the show, we're going to be talking Championship and League One, and then the Super League stuff will continue in the podcast part two.
I know, it's packed, isn't it? And for those of you who are looking of tuning in to Love Rugby League, we'll also have a special interview at some point over the next week or so.
Yes.
With none other than Terry O'Connor.
Terry O'Connor seems to go on for about half an hour, so we can't squeeze him in the opening Final Hooter. So he's got a show of his own. He'll like that, won't he?
Yeah, he will. But it was fascinating speaking to him.
It really was. Pre-season done and dusted. We're ready and raring to go, aren't we? Where have you been for your pre-season?
Bit of Fiji, love.
Oh, Fiji, that's nice.
Yeah.
I went to Spike Barlow. Island.
Yeah. I can tell you've caught a tan there.
On the banks of the Mersey. Warm weather training.
Yeah. I had a bit of warm weather training. I had to put 6 layers on when I got back from Fiji.
It's a new beginning.
It is. I was looking at
another strap line to get your head around for 2019.
Yeah,
it's a new beginning.
We had Rugby League of the Extraordinary.
Yes.
Every Minute Matters.
Yes.
This is our time.
I love that one.
Different league. And now new beginnings.
New beginnings.
And enjoy the game for the rest of Rugby League.
Loving the game. And I'm sure everyone will do. We have lift off in about a week's time. Super League.
Don't go saying that. It kicks off on Thursday.
It does, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, we have kick off a lift off on Thursday.
Yeah,
a couple of days time.
You're thinking League One. League One kicks off in the middle of February.
Yeah, Championships
this weekend.
This weekend, yeah.
And Super League this weekend. Wow. Are you impressed?
Don't get
these...
me going with the fixtures, and I'm not happy with the fact we're kicking off on a Thursday night.
And the fact that at the time we won't actually be out of we'll be out of January then. It's still 31st of January.
31st of January.
Wow.
I had a chat with Chris Hill at the Warrington Media Day. He can't believe we're starting the 31st of January.
He sounded shattered, by the way.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Anyway, we're talking League One, we're talking Championship in this first segment, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Let's start in League One, shall we? Plenty to play for.
Mm.
York got promoted last year, didn't they?
Keighley have finally made the starting blocks. They've been taken over. They're ready and raring to go. They're announcing, what it seems, players every couple of hours at the moment at Cougar Park. But when you consider that they've been in pre-season training and that has just dragged on and on, as has the ownership issue, I'm glad that they can finally make it to the starting line. Another team looking to build on the success that they had last year was Workington Town. Now, Workington, they have... they went so close last year. They went really, really close.
It was a titanic battle with Swinton, though.
It really was. That was when the season just ended up with grand final after grand final after grand final after grand final.
Yeah.
And eventually, it was Swinton who secured their status. So, in the first of our mega interviews...
That's here. From Cal Forber.
I am delighted to be joined by one of the longest serving players in rugby league currently. It's Carl Farber over at Workington Town. Hi Carl, how are you doing?
Hi Dave, yeah, I'm good, thanks.
You're my guinea pig, if you like. You're my first one of these interviews. My first, my last, my everything. Now, hopefully the last isn't coming for another couple of years yet. But tell us what you can recall of your debut. It was for St Helens, wasn't it? Am I thinking around about 2004?
Yeah, I'm not sure on the year. I'm useless with years. But it was at Saints. It was against Salford at Knowsley Road. I think we maybe won something like 34-6. I was actually kicking goals that night as well. I kicked 6 from 7, I think.
Oh, you had a good day with the boot, didn't you?
Yeah, I did all right, I think. I thought I made a pretty decent debut as a, I think I was maybe 18.
When did you find out that you was going to be playing? You know, was it a big shock or a big surprise, or did you have some prior build up to it?
I think the week before we actually it was around all that saga with Sean Long and Gleeson getting banned and stuff. I was actually supposed to play. I'm sure it was the week before against Bradford when there was a lot of the young lads played. I'd been knocked out in a midweek game against Wigan for the academy, and I didn't get my head test passed, so I ended up missing out on that. And then the following week, I'm sure we played Salford, and I got the call up for that. So yeah, I was pretty excited.
Was it Ian Millward who was the coach of St Helens at that time?
It was, yeah, it was Ian.
And how did you find working with him? Was he pretty good with you as a young guy coming into that squad? Because, I mean, it must have been quite a star-studded team when you look around the dressing room.
Yeah, it was, yeah. It was good. There was a few of us just training, like, maybe two or three times a week with the first team. We weren't full-time. So that week, obviously, he told us early on in the week that I'll be playing if we could get this head test passed. And, yeah, he spent a bit of time with us and obviously got a few of the guys to speak to us, like Sculthorpe and Cunningham and stuff like that. They really helped me through on my debut, I remember.
Now, you couldn't ask for anywhere more iconic than playing at somewhere like Knowsley Road for your debut. I know you're a St Helens lad at heart as well, aren't you? So what was that like?
Oh, it was excellent. I mean, even just playing in the academies as curtain raisers with, like, towards the back end of the game, being like 2,000-3,000 watching it was brilliant. But to play and to play in front of a pretty much full Knowsley Road was like a dream come true.
You've led an interesting career since, because, I mean, I know our paths crossed once upon a time at Lee, which you probably don't remember because it's that long ago.
No, I do, yeah, I do remember, yeah.
but, I mean, you had a good stint at Lee. I remember you being top point scorer 2006.
Yeah, I think that was... I think I came maybe 2005 then and played maybe half a dozen games in Super League for Lee. And then I signed on for that following year, yeah. And I think, I don't know how, but yeah, I ended up being top point scorer. Played quite a few games in the centre. I think, was it Tony Benson that was in charge then? And then I think Millward came over towards the back end of that year and started helping out again there. But yeah, I played majority in the halves, I think, and then maybe half a dozen games in the centre, which is where I probably picked up a few of my tries and stuff, yeah.
Then came your first spell at Workington, am I right there?
Yeah, I went from Lee to Workington. I signed for 2 years up here. That was mainly because of the Lump brothers. I played with them at the academy at Saints, and they obviously knew that I was looking for something different and put me in touch with Workington, and I moved up here. So yeah.
When you said the Lump brothers, is that like Sean and?
Yeah, Sean and his brother Rob. They both played in the academy. Yeah, I think we all played in the final together 1 year against Leeds. We got beat at Leeds 1 year in the academy final. I think Rob actually got man of the match. He scored three, got man of the match, and we got beat. So that doesn't really happen very often.
Do you still keep in touch with them as well?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it was only last weekend that I seen them in Keswick, just up here. Sean's obviously had a bit of trouble with his health and stuff lately, so it was nice to see them. I've not seen them for a bit, yeah.
So, am I right in thinking, was it 2 or 3 years your first spell at Workington?
Yeah, I signed for 2 years, and then I ended up signing at Rochdale. I pretty much did the full pre-season at Rochdale, and then they kind of went bust and lost all funds and stuff, so I signed back at Workington without even playing a game for Rochdale.
Oh, really? That must have been a bit odd, but...
Yeah, it was, because I think we'd got quite a decent squad together at Rochdale and signed a few good lads, so it was a bit of a shame, but it was nice that Workington was still there and offering me another deal, so...
You've also got Blackpool and Oldham as clubs that you've represented as well. What do you recall from your spells with both of those?
I don't know, you keep rhyming these clubs off here. I'm thinking I've been all over the world.
Well, I thought that, to be fair.
Blackpool, we had a real good squad as well. They signed really well. Players from all over. We'd done pretty good, and then they ended up going bust. I think I'm a bad luck charm. There's a bit of a trend forming there, isn't there? Blackpool, I don't think they were maybe only about for maybe 3-4 years anyway, I think, weren't they?
They were. During your spell, was you playing over at the main football stadium, or were you at Fylde?
No, we were at Fylde.
At Fylde, yeah. At that stage, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I remember, actually, they did them nines tournaments, didn't they?
Oh, they did, yes.
We actually won that nines tournament against, like, our league and the league above, so we were pretty chuffed with that, yeah.
I think a couple of teams used that as a chance for things like stag do's.
Blackpool's always a good place for the stag do, isn't it?
But, I mean, that was something that that was actually a competition that I remember covering, and I covered it quite extensively. I really enjoyed it for the 2 years that it existed. Do you reckon something like that should be brought back, potentially?
Definitely, yeah, especially in somewhere like Blackpool, because like you say, it's a bit of a team bonder as well as anything else. You spend a lot of time with all your mates and your team and stuff. But yeah, definitely for rugby as well. I would say there was a lot of fans turned up over that weekend, probably seeing a lot of decent rugby play, to be fair. Obviously, with it being nine a side, it opens it up a bit, and a lot of decent tries and that scored, so...
I mean, that's a potential way of maybe spreading the word of the game a bit further, isn't it? With a nines tournaments and that type of stuff. I know it's been tried with Australia as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely the last couple of years. I love watching the NRL one. You see some brilliant tries and stuff over there. But yeah, definitely over here. I mean, we've said Blackpool, but there's all kinds of places you could have it, isn't there? Like you say, broaden the horizons and stuff, and definitely something to look at.
So after your stint had finished at Blackpool, you moved across to Oldham, am I right there?
Yeah, well, I'd signed for Swinton from Oldham, from Blackpool, but didn't really play many games and went out on loan to Oldham and played the rest of the season with Oldham, yeah.
So how did that go? Because that must have been quite frustrating for you, because by that stage, you'd think that you was at that age where you was needing rugby, really, weren't you?
Yeah, pretty much. That's probably the reason I went out on loan was just because, like you say, I was at that age and I just wanted to be playing, really. It was pointless me training all week and then not playing at weekends. So obviously Oldham came in and gave me the chance and said they wanted me to play. So definitely I took it with both hands.
So how did the move back up to Workington come about then?
When I was first up here on my first stint and I signed at Rochdale to go back home, that's probably the worst decision I made, probably leaving Workington, as I'd just met my now wife, and I was all set up here. I had her, I had a decent job and stuff, and yeah. Now we've got two beautiful kids, and I would probably, if there was one thing that I would change, I would probably never leave Workington. I'd have stayed from the beginning.
And the stint that you've had with them since, I mean, it's brilliant. You know, you've been loyal, the club's been loyal to you, you've got a testimonial ongoing at the moment. How do you sum that up, really?
I don't know. I think they've probably been very generous to us, because I've basically moved on 2-3 times, so for them to still want me, that's pretty good. But yeah, since I came back, I think I've realised where I'm happy at. I think I am a loyal person and loyal to the club and stuff, and loyal to my wife more than anything now. I think we've got our own place and stuff and kids, and things just change as you get a little bit older and you realise, you know, where you want to be and where your happy place is, really.
It's nice to hear that, you know, because quite often rugby league players get the names dragged through the mud, don't they, I suppose, for maybe japes that they've got up to and stuff like that. So to hear from a family man and the fact that it's all working out for you, it's all power to your elbow as well, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. I mean, I've moved like two and a half hours away from my own family, and to be honest, I don't get to see them as much as what I'd like to now, but it's nice that I've got my own little family to see me through it.
And 250 plus games up now for Workington. You must be really happy at that.
Yeah, touch wood, I think I've been pretty lucky with injuries and stuff, so that obviously helps get your appearances up. But I mean, I've maybe had maybe 4 or 5 different coaches up here, and I would say I've played the majority of games under them, so I must be doing something right. Obviously, Leon's in charge now as well, which I'm really enjoying. I'm probably playing better as I'm getting older, I think. I don't know whether I'm probably still learning off the likes of Leon and stuff coming in, and I don't know, I'm still really enjoying it, even though I'm coming up to nearly 34 now.
Is that playing smarter? And you've aged me there, because I didn't realise you were 34, mate.
Yeah, I'll be 34 in March, yeah.
Let's put the experience on. So
experience, I'll take that.
You know, we're now playing smarter. I think that's where it is, isn't it?
Yeah, probably, yeah. I think, like I just said, I think injuries have played a part in that, and I do still feel pretty fit and healthy, so I think that helps. But yeah, probably playing a little bit smarter and probably not getting caught with the ball as much and stuff probably helps with not getting injured as well.
Yeah. So I know that Leon had a massive impression last year coming in as head coach. How's it been going ahead of this year?
To be fair, we've not really had the best of pre-seasons. There's been a lot of lads, like, not long since started back, probably just after Christmas. We've only had a couple of weeks where we've had proper numbers, because we've got quite a few travellers and stuff.
Mm.
But when the boys have been up and that, we've had real good sessions.
Yeah, so they've had real good sessions, and hopefully they'll do pretty well this coming season. I actually fancy them to do quite well again, you know.
It's been a great servant to the game, hasn't he, Kyle Forburn? Certainly into rugby league in Cumbria. In fact, you may be from St. Helens, but he sounded a bit like an Amara there at some point.
Yeah, I mean, it is amazing, and yeah, he's caught that accent, definitely. But yeah, he's been a great player for Workington, and as I mentioned there, he's worked under several coaches, and looks like he's enjoying his time as well, which I think is most important.
Well, Dallas, and League One's going to be really interesting, isn't it? Working to them, and expected to be up there challenging Whitehaven, maybe.
Yeah, Oldham as well, possibly. For our next chat with a League One personality, we're crossing over just a few miles from Workington, actually, to Whitehaven, and I caught up with centre Jason Mossop. I know that certainly new coach coming on board, a whole new emphasis on local players. How's that coming together?
Yeah, it's coming together well. Obviously, we've got three local coaches now in Gary Charlton, Johnny Gawley and Scott McAvoy. And I've worked with all three of them in the past. Gary and Johnny at Workington, and then Scott McAvoy. I dealt with him last year as a coach, but I basically grew up with Scott. He played with him at Ensingham, and I've went through all the years, and all three of them fetched different things to the club. And yeah, it's going to be tough, don't get me wrong. We've gelled basically a brand new team together that is mainly locals. We've got a couple of travellers that are bringing strength to the side. But it's going to take time, and we played Workington in a friendly. We had a few missing, but we showed we were a new side, and we were really poor, to be honest. But then last week, we've progressed, and we came on a lot stronger. We've improved a lot over the week against Barrow, and that's what we've got to keep doing, just keep improving and hopefully get the season running. We've got one more friendly to go against Newcastle, who probably they're going to be up there as title challengers, so that'll be a big task for us, and it'll be an eye-opener really to see where we currently are at the moment. We've got a lot of players coming in, and hopefully it's going to be a good year, but I think it's going to be a tough year, but it's a year of development really.
I mean, Whitehaven has always been at its strongest when it's had that real local element about it, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Growing up over the years, growing up as a kid, really, when I used to go and watch them all the time, there was a lot of amateurs there and locals. Yeah, you had your strength coming from away. But no, I think it's getting locals together. You're training weekly, your mates off the pitch as well, and don't get me wrong, a lot of the travellers that come up, they fetch a lot of strength to your side.
Hmm.
But basically, they're travelling up to train, and then they're going home, where there's the locals, obviously they're training together, they're going, they know each other, they're either bumping into each other at work, and it's a bit more of a crack, sort of just having a good chat. You're just playing with your mates, and it's just more enjoyment.
In a way, is that very similar to amateur?
Yeah.
In some respects.
In a sense of, you're amateur. And a lot of lads have played together as amateurs.
Mm.
So, yeah, they've all grew up around each other. They've played against each other or worked together. And, it's just, you're basically going out there with your mate. It's just, you're with each other all the time. And, it's getting more enjoyment. It's going to be tough, but you're just getting that real continuity of being a bit more together sort of thing.
Now, what would you think would be a good season for Whitehaven this next year? Have you spoken about anything internally, or is it just sort of like look to improve on next year, last year, and bring a team together?
No, we haven't sat down and set our personal goals yet as a team. I think a good season will basically be it. We've got to be aiming for the playoffs, to be honest. I think on paper, we may be only a couple, maybe need a couple of players to come in and strengthen the side. But on paper, I think we've got a really good squad. It's youthful, it's experienced. And if we can keep all them lads together and keep them fit, there's certainly no reason why we shouldn't be up there competing. And certainly, if we didn't make the playoffs, then it would be an unsuccessful season, really.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
No pressure on Whitehaven, then.
He's setting loftier heights there, isn't he? Saying that if they miss out on the playoffs, it's a poor season for them. I noticed the Cal Farber didn't go that far as to give a prediction, did he?
No, he never. Which is probably wise, because we mentioned some of the contenders. We never even mentioned Doncaster.
Exactly, yeah. Doncaster have strengthened in the close season. They went
Newcastle.
Close. Newcastle have gone on a right spending spree, haven't they? They brought in the likes of Liam Finn and a couple of other high-profile name players. And, they'll be chomping at the bit, I guess.
It's going to be another competitive season, isn't it?
Very much so. Yeah, very much so. And I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes. I mean, I know it's a little bit reduced his League One this next season.
It is.
But I still think it's going to be a fascinating comp.
A lot of the eyes would be on the expansion clubs, if you still want to call them that. London Scholars, maybe.
The best of the expansion clubs will probably be Coventry, because they've been together an extra couple of years, haven't they?
Yeah.
And also, I guess a lot of eyes will be on the West Wales, because they had such a poor campaign last year. Listen, anything that they are able to do on the field this year will be an improvement. But I can see them being pretty competitive. They've got an Australian coach in situ. They've also brought in some brand new players. So I think they're going to be much stronger.
One of the teams that seem to bang the drum by saying they are one of the best of the expansion clubs, the North Wales Crusaders.
Can we say they're an expansion club? They're only 40 miles away from Warrington, where we're recording.
Yeah, but they are still the original expansion club, aren't they?
I suppose so.
In the modern game.
I suppose so. Yeah.
Bristol never materialised,
no,
did it?
No, we were half expecting that, and that never came in. Mm. New York hasn't happened yet. So it's same old, but I guess Anthony Murray is looking at improvements at North Wales as well, isn't he?
Anthony Murray, a month away from the start of the brand new season. How are the Crusaders looking at the minute?
Yeah, we're doing all right, mate. We're not doing too bad. Obviously, real tough experience that for the boys, but they got a lot out of that. I don't think we embarrassed ourselves whatsoever. It was nice to see Widnes putting a full complement of their squad out against us, which obviously, paid us, the utmost respect there. And I thought for large parts of the game, our players responded really well. We had going into the game, we only had 19 players. So you've got quite a few injuries at the minute, we didn't have much on the middles for the interchange. But I thought, considering what our bench was a bit light, I thought, we stuck to task and we really worked hard as a group.
Going to say a real good test for the guys to step up against full time too.
Oh, massive for here. He just obviously witnessed, possess some real class out there, didn't they? And for three tries in the first half, they scored off kicks, which they couldn't, sort of get across our line. So, I said to the players at half time, you should take a lot of confidence out of that. They've had to obviously put a kick into the corner, they couldn't break you, and they broke us on the last play, which obviously we need to deal with it better. But defensively on our goal line, for that, especially in that first half, was really good. And obviously I knew fatigue would kick in the second half, and I knew the gates would open a little bit more because you're playing a full time outfit and they're naturally fitter and stronger than what you are because they're doing it day in, day out. For large parts of the game, I thought we made a real arm wrestle of it, and we get a good account of ourselves.
Certainly showed a lot of character.
Oh, massively, and that's what we've always been about at North Wales, we're a lot of character there, and that's all I ask of my players, is just every time they step over the line, just to give 100% for crew, and back yourself and back your teammates, and they did that.
Certainly learnt a lot from your players today, and you'll learn a lot more when you play Coventry next week.
Oh, massively, yeah. I'm really hoping to get some bodies back as well next week for that. And obviously it's our last sort of hit out before we play working till on 24th, so it gives us a couple of weekend training sessions too there, before we play working till anyway. So that'll be definitely our last game against Coventry, and I'm hoping that we'll be adding some bodies as well by Tuesday. Some fresh faces are coming in, we've got a few irons in the fire, and hopefully they'll be a real good players for us that will come in.
I'd say it is working from first up, 4 weeks away. What kind of preparation will you go through between now and then?
Well, we're just going to work hard. Obviously, like, you know, we had a look at the Swinton game and we wanted to improve on some areas on that. We'll do the same for this game. I'll pick some stuff out for us to look at and for us to improve, and I'll do the same for Coventry. And hopefully after these three games, we've, you know, we can sort of learn a little bit about ourselves and areas where we need to improve on, and obviously just keep the lads training hard, keep the fitness levels up, and, you know, just pick these games to pieces and areas where we can improve on, so we're definitely ready for working to nowhere.
What kind of things are you going to be expecting in League One this year?
I think League One's going to be the most competitive it's ever been. You know, there's a lot of teams who have spent, you know, a lot of money to try and get out of the division. You know, you can see Newcastle's intent, can't you? You can see Doncaster, Hunslet, Workington. You know, that they're all sort of like, you know, made some high quality signings. And I think the division's really going to be tough. You know, you're not going, there's no easy games there anymore this season, and I'm expecting a real competitive League One, and there's a lot of teams that are wanting to get out of the division.
How much of a bonus is it for you guys to keep relatively the entire squad from last season?
Yeah, it's been good. We've managed to keep large parts of the squad, but we've also added some decent faces as well who've been about and got some experience. Rob Masson, Matt Reed, Kenny Hughes, Ben Stead, we've made some decent signings there, and there's a couple more new faces set to come in as well, and we've got the Dual-Edge partnership with Widnes, as you can see out there as well. Widnes are going to have a host of quality players that are not going to be playing week in, week out, and obviously they're a full feature for us as well. So, you know, potentially we could have a real strong squad.
You mentioned the big guns that are expected to be up there challenging, but maybe North Wales could upset a few of the big guns.
Yeah, that's our intention and our aim. You know, we want to be in that top half of the table as well, and that goal has been set to our players that we aim for, you know, being, you know, middle of the table. We don't want to be near the bottom of the league, we want to be like mid table, and there's only one way you're going to get there, and that's working hard and, you know, just giving a good account of yourself. And there's no reason why we can't. We competed with all those teams last year. We only got beat heavily once by Oldham away. And we've got I like to think we've got a strongest team on paper this year, for us to, you know, give ourselves a real opportunity to push up.
Things looking good for the Crusaders then?
Yeah, certainly. I think you mentioned there a couple of the names that they brought in, and they certainly will add strength. I'm really liking the look of Kenny Hughes. He's done a top job at Oldham over the last two or three seasons.
11 teams in total going head-to-head. Who's going to be at the top at the end of the season?
I still tip Newcastle and the Cumbrian clubs, to be honest. But yeah, we haven't mentioned Hunslet in any of the things we said.
Exactly.
As Anthony said, they made some half-decent signings, and they've got a real canny coach there in Gary Thornton. So he's been around the professional game for a long, long time now, and they could upset the apple cart as well.
It's going to be interesting to see how this one pans out. And you'll be able to watch a lot of League One action on the RFL's Our League app.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And also, they've extended their coverage, or they've been allowed to extend their coverage this season to include Championship games.
So, they have.
We've got the women's game on there, we've got potentially internationals, we've got League One, and we've got Championship. So if you haven't already signed up for it, then it's easy enough to do. You just fill a form in, you say who your club of choice is as well, and the rest is dead simple.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
We are continuing our build-up towards the start of the brand new season. We've just been talking League One, the runners and riders, who we expect are going to be there, who's going to be challenging. We've heard from Jason Mossop, Cal Forber and Anthony Murray. Let's talk Championship, shall we? It's all changing the Championship as well, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got 14 teams taking their place this season. We had Bradford and York promoted last year, and nobody in the end ended up going down. I think it's a much improved division, in all honesty.
Yeah.
And, wow, you pick your top three. Because it's so tough, isn't it?
Well, you mentioned teams that got promoted and no one went going down, but Widnes dropped out of Super League to join the Championship for the first time in about 6 years.
Well, I wasn't really including Widnes because, to be honest, they were just about a Championship level team last year, weren't
Ooh,
they?
Oh, in the ribs.
With the number of wins and what was their worst ever season on record. But yeah, I mean, it has been all change at Widnes as well, hasn't it?
It has.
Kieran Pirtle going in, a real young, hungry squad. Then I'll be interested to see how some of these lads who haven't been exposed to that much Championship level rugby, how they actually go, because it's a tougher division than anybody gives it credit for.
I'm interested to see how Toronto go, because they always expected to be in Super League this season. They got the fingers burnt at the end by London Broncos, which was a real shock to the system for them. They've done away with Paul Rowley. They brought in Brian McDermott.
Hang on, he resigned, Paul, I believe.
A change of coach, then. Been a change of coach.
Yeah.
They've made one of the two interesting signings. Is this their year?
You would expect to, so. in all honesty. But I tell you what, I'm really liking the look of Toulouse Olympique. I think they've really improved their team as well. They've brought in the likes of James Bell from the New Zealand Warriors, Ilias Bergel and Jordan Desiree from Lee Centurions.
I'm glad you said that.
Joe Bretherton has joined on a full-time contract from Wigan Warriors. Mm-hmm. Ben Evans has joined from London Broncos. They brought Dean Perata, who represented Italy in the 2013 World Cup, and Brendan Santi, who also represented Italy at the last World Cup, comes in from Townsville Blackhawks. So I really fancy what they've got to offer. And of course, they've got the likes of Jonathan Ford, Stan Robben and Matt Carella in the side. But yeah, Toronto will be half decent. They'll be there because obviously you look at the Super League experience there from the likes of Gareth O'Brien, Matty Russell. And then they brought in Joe Mellor, of course, from Widnes Vikings. Bodine Thompson, who had that short stint with Warrington at the end of last season. And perhaps the biggest sign of them all, John Wilkin.
Well, John Wilkin, here we are in York. Launch event for the Championship season. For many years, you've been doing the Super League ones. How does this vary?
Yeah, well, we're in York, which is different. It's a beautiful city, York. Do you know what? I spent a lot of time here in my sort of my formative years when I played for OKR. I spent 2 years playing at OKR, and we did a lot of socialising in York. So it's nice to be back for a different reason, though, and to launch the Betfred Championship in League One. Yeah, look, it's different to the Super League one because it's the step down, but the consequences and the appetite and the hunger at this level is exactly the same.
There's a real buzz around the room, isn't there? You get that. It's same as any other launch events in that respect, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. Well, there has to be a buzz. If you're not enthusiastic about rugby at this time of year, you're never going to be, are you? So, well, everybody's just looking forward to rugby, to getting started again. All the guys here have been preparing really hard for the new season and looking forward to getting going. Toronto are no different. Look, massive disappointment for Toronto last year not to be in Super League. Well, that goes without saying. They went into last year probably with the favourites tag around them. They probably will probably go into this year with the same. It didn't serve us too well at the end of last year, so we're hoping, you know, this year we can learn from that and go one step further and get promoted. But a lot of hard work, so much hard work between now and then.
How have you found that move from St Helens to Toronto?
It's been. Look, there's some things really surprised me, and some things, you know, are just still unknown, I suppose. I think things that surprise me is the physical preparation of the team, how fit the lads are, how strong they are in the gym, and I don't know what I was expecting, but it's probably surpassed where I thought the team would be at. And then, I suppose, stepping down to this level. When I say step down, it's probably not fair because the quality on our side is NRL quality players. It's players who've played a lot of Super League, so it's not been a big jump in that respect. It's not felt like a huge change, and I've enjoyed walking into a change room with much older players actually. Because when I was 35 playing with 17, 18 year old lads in your team, it starts to feel like. You know, so alienated from them in some respects. Like the mentality of younger people now is much different to what mine is. So it's been good being in a dressing room with older guys. I've really enjoyed that.
And imagine this is an exciting challenge for you. I mean, you're representing a club that's, I won't say brand new, but it's one of the new boys. It's got everything going for it, hasn't it?
Yeah. Look, as an outsider, like I said, as an outsider looking in, Toronto, the brand for me was really strong. It was vibrant. The way that they ran their social media, the energy and enthusiasm, this sort of Northern American, Canadian positivity towards sport and celebrating the sports came through in abundance. It's something actually we can learn, rugby league sport can learn from. I think one of the biggest functions of Toronto is to get like this cynical, narrow-minded sort of Northern English mentality and broaden it out and be positive and attack things, and I think that's the big challenge. You know, being part of the Toronto team's really exciting for me and my wife. You know, it was really important for me that my wife and Francesca, who travelled the world, she's an Olympic swimmer, she's travelled the world, was keen to go there. Fortunately, she was keen to do a bit of travelling, and we're in a position where we can enjoy being in Toronto. And I think that's important, you know. Rugby's great, like, but you've got to be happy away from that. I'm not certainly going to be holed up in an apartment in Toronto twiddling my thumbs.
Did John Wilkin get married in the off season?
He must have done.
Where was the invite?
I don't know. I didn't know him well enough.
Mine must have got lost in the post.
I mean, you've spoken to him a few times, haven't you, down the year as well?
Yeah, a mocker, John Wilkie.
Good to hear from him, and nice to hear as well that he was talking about sort of setting the standard there, wasn't he, at Toronto? But interesting that a few things have surprised him with like the intensity of the training too.
One thing that struck me, he was saying he doesn't feel like he's the old man of the team now.
No. And that's a really interesting thing. I asked him a little bit more about that. I mean, he's got so much experience, and I'm sure that he's going to add to the Toronto Wolfpack team.
It'd be interesting to see how Lee go out in the championship this season. They've had their off-field problems that everyone knows about.
Wow, talk about roller coaster. I mean, John Duffy's his form bill must be sky high after putting this squad together, and I caught up with him at the championship launch to find out how it's been going.
Well, John Duffy, we're all hat at these events, me and you, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely.
Right, you've come back to Lee, you've had very little chance to get a squad together, but yet it all seems to be coming together nicely.
Yeah, I mean, the lads we've got together, obviously there's a local feel and local vibe about him. My thoughts, because it came late, was to try and get as many lads who wanted to play for the club as possible, because you know you're more than halfway there. Then again, being competitive, because we're under the cosh with when we start pre-season as well, obviously it adds that extra bit where they buy in, and we've been doing an extra night a week trying to catch up, so we've got that buy-in straight away because they want to play for the club. So that's probably why it looks a bit better than it probably should.
Looking at it as well though, I mean, there's some decent talent that you've got in this squad as well.
Yeah,
we're getting Riddy back.
Got a good mixture, obviously, with Mickey and Riddy, and managed to get Greg through difficult circumstances with him back at Lee. So, and then we've added some quality players who just want to come and play for Lee, Ian Thornley from Catalan, Stephen Marsh from Widnes. They're all local lads from around Wigan and Lee, so to be able to get them is obviously a coup for us, but we've got to go on. Probably going to show it on the field now, haven't we?
I bet your contact book though has been well thumbed through this last few weeks.
Oh yeah, the phone bill's up last couple of months, but that's what we're doing it. So, for me personally, being able to coach a club that played near on 200 games for is something that is very special. I didn't think you'd come. So I don't want to lose it, and I'm sure the boys that I put together will make sure we're competitive and put our best foot forward every week.
I mean, I'm sure I can speak for a lot of league fans in that over this period of the last 20 years you've been one of the more popular players that's played for the club as well.
I'm not too sure. I love playing for Lee. It's something that's it's different than everywhere else. It's special and you never forget, and I've been getting some quotes off some Lee legends, John Woods, Alex Murphy, who came to see us yesterday, and they all said the same thing. It's Mickey's played in grand finals, but still says the Lee fans are they captivate you, and they're just different to everywhere else.
Everything's preparing for the season now, isn't it? You've got London this weekend. That's going to be a big test, isn't it?
Yeah, massive test for us. Watching against Doncaster all weekend, and they're going hard, and they look like they're a bigger set than last year as well. They must have been training the edge down. So it'll be a real good test for us to see where we're at. Obviously, we've got some experience, but we've got some real young fellas in there as well.
How did they go?
Well, London ended up winning 20 points to nil.
Right.
But it was a very spirited effort from the Lee lads.
Okay.
And I'm hopeful that it's going to be an above average season for Lee. Let's put it that way.
Lee have had their off-field problems, so have Widnes as well. How will that affect the Vikings?
It's a bit of a tough one, isn't it? I mean, we're still waiting to hear about all the fallout, to be honest. But speaking to Kieran Pirtle ahead of the season, he was saying that it doesn't compare to the issues that he had at Lee last year, so he's confident enough.
Bradford and York back in the frame as well.
I know, and both have strengthened, haven't they? Looking pretty good. I know Bradford announced that Lee Smith has retired, and that's a bit of a blow for them, but they've still got some young guys there that are very good, and I'm looking forward to seeing how they go.
Let's see how Rochdale go, because they survived by the skin of the teeth last year, didn't they?
Oh, they certainly did, yeah. I saw them play against the local side, Rochdale Mayfield, a couple of weeks ago, and that's where I caught up with their new skipper.
Lee Mitchell of Rochdale Hornets, a man who's skipper of Hornets this year. First of all, let's cross that bridge. What's it like being appointed captain of a side?
It's good. It's a good honour. And a privilege as well to be able to lead a team. I think it doesn't really change how I am as a person. I do try and lead anyway, but it's nice to get that recognition for it, and the lads do hopefully will look up to us, and we can have a good year. We did enough to get there. There's a lot of improvement for us still to make. We're a new group, relatively new group together, so it's a good starting point for us. It's hard running back and two. It's a little bit boring at times, but you only really get your fitness once you start playing your game. So these are important. You get to learn how people play, what they're like on the rugby pitch when there's something goes against you, a decision or a drop ball by your team. They're the little things that you have to deal with when you're tired, you only get them from playing these sort of games. So it was good.
What seems nice about the Hornets side this year is there's a bit more experience around. You're looking at the likes of Scott Moore, you're looking at guys like Stuart Howarth, the guys that have been at the top level with yourself, aren't they?
Definitely. I think we had a good squad last year, but I think having them in has probably taken us to the next level a little bit. Stu and Scott are so controlled, they know what they're doing, they know who they're playing on, and then mixing them in with the likes of Elliot and Dan Abram, Morsey as well. I think he's vice-captain with me, he leads us round. I didn't play today, but he's trained that hard, he's deserved not to play today, because he has been really ripping in. And then the likes of the young lads like Ellis Gillam, Mike Weldon, Cotto, Carbs. There's a good sort of group that we're getting together where we just need to learn how each other play to how Foz wants us to play, and we'll do all right.
Lee Mitchell has certainly been around the block, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. I've lost count of the number of clubs that he's had, to be honest, but decent player, decent guy, and Rochdale in safe hands, although we were just totting up, and there's been six teams that have changed coaches, haven't there, in the postseason?
Yeah, new coach at Rochdale.
Yeah, new boss there, he was at Whitehaven last year. It's like a big merry-go-round, isn't it?
It is. Who else is the new coaches?
We have new coaches in at Lee, of course, with John Duffy, Kieran Pirtle at Widnes Vikings. We've also got a new coach in at Dewsbury Rams, who is Lee Greenwood. And the guy who's in at Featherstone, whose name escapes me, Australian.
I thought you were the championship
Ryan
guru.
Ryan Carr.
Meant to be the championship guru of this partnership.
That's okay, because I've mentioned him anyway.
All right, okay.
Ryan Carr.
Out of all those new coaches, who's going to be successful? Who's going to be the one smiling at the end of it?
Well, the one I didn't mention. I reckon the one that'll have the best chance will probably be Brian McDermott.
Ooh, think so?
But I still fancy to lose.
I fancy Halifax.
Oh, well, I mean, they always fly under the radar. But, he's been there a long while, hasn't he now, Richard Marshall?
Yes, yes.
And again, we've gone through a whole preview show without mentioning Halifax. We're going to leave the last word of this one to whom?
A man who's getting a second chance at rugby league.
Yes, it's none other than Dion Cross, who was in the close season signed for Barrow.
Well, Dion Cross, the last time I passed Cross, you'd just been picked up by Rochdale. This year, you're representing Barrow.
Yeah.
How's it going for you?
Yeah, it's going really well. Really enjoyed it so far. It's been a tough pre-season.
And how did your move come about to go from Rochdale up to Barrow?
It was through an agent, Graham Taylor. I've just sent the clips over to him, and he's just put his clips out to the clubs. And Sheffield came back and offered me a contract, and also Barrow did. But with the signings Barrow's made, I thought it's a no-brainer move, really.
Yeah, what a squad that's developing into as well. There's guys from all over. You've got Papua New Guineans in there. Gazok's gone up there.
Yeah, yeah. There's some good experience in there as well. Martin Aspinall as well, who's played at Wigan, Huddersfield, I think he's been at Hull FC. So there's some good experience in the side, and also some exciting young players as well.
So, from your point of view, you're sort of 2 years along this pro path now.
Yeah, yeah.
How's that been treating you? What was your season like at Rochdale last year?
Rochdale was pretty good, to be fair. I had some good form at the back end of the year, and also as well, because they had this quite small squad, it gave me more chance to play more games. So I got some good experience under my belt, and as well, I think it helped me a bit more through Killer, Alan Killshaw. He really settled me into the team, and so some good boys in there as well, likes of Lee Mitchell, the Rochdale captain now. He helped me settle in, and helped me along the way.
You're one of these guys as well that's almost got a second shot at being a pro player, because he was in the Saints system, wasn't you, from a young age?
Yeah. Yeah, I was down at Saints through the scholarship and then sort of broke away and ended up back at Blackrock in the amateur set-up, and then only for Anthony Walker, he put me forward for the Rochdale, and you know, I thought I'd just have a good crack at it and just get everything I've got and just try and do the best I can and see where it's up there. So,
now, you know what, my heart's probably left somewhere in the amateur game somewhere. Yeah. What about yours? Do you still keep in touch with a lot of the boys that you've come through with?
I don't get a chance to go down really and watch much of the Blackbrook games anymore, because we train on Saturdays and then we play Sundays, so schedule's always quite busy. But you know, I'm always following up on Twitter and seeing how they're doing. They won on Saturday as well. But yeah, you do miss that amateur side as well, because you have a good laugh with your mates and stuff, but at the same time, you know, I'm enjoying this professional setup as well, and you know, I will hopefully have a good shot and try and get into the Super League if I can.